Hi everyone, welcome to the next instalment of the Beck BC Shadow Board podcasts. My name is Jason Savage. I'm the current chair of the Shadow Board, and I'm joined today by Peter Fleming, who is one of our main board directors. So Peter, do you want to start off? Just want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, so as Jason said, thank you. My name is Peter Fleming. I run my own consultancy, business consultancy, and maybe touch on that later in the podcast. Yeah. I live in Brampton with my family on the east side of Cumbria, and been a member of Beck BC coming up nearly 8 years now, and been a member of the board nearly 3 years, and predominantly sort of look after the SME agenda and the business support group.
Great. So thank you for joining me today, making the time. Really appreciate it, and I'm sure people will appreciate to be able to listen a bit about who you are and your career history. So one of my first questions, or really the first question we ask in these sort of podcasts, is sort of where did you come from, and sort of how did you work your way up? Because these podcasts will go out to sort of people in their early careers, as well as people looking for interest in Beck BC. So if you want to start there, so sort of where are you from, and sort of where did you start your sort of after school sort of life?
Yeah, so probably so going back a few years, and it is a few years for me. probably like a lot of students at school, particularly when you're going through what was the old third, fourth, and fifth year, but now sort of 9, 10, and 11. Mm-hmm. Wasn't sure what I wanted to do, I worked on a farm. I had a paper round and things like that. Did a bit of gardening for some people. And when I got to 16, I thought it had been great to do an apprenticeship. Two of my uncles are joiners, and my dad was an electrical engineer, so most of my family used their hands. So I applied for a few apprentice jobs, and interestingly, all the businesses I went to see, which were mainly joinery businesses, and there was an agricultural engineer, all advised me to stay on at school for my what they classed the sixth year then, and get a bit more education. And then look for something. So that's what I did do in the end. Didn't really enjoy school too much. The environment, stuff like that. And I also did a couple of A levels. And again, when I left at the end of sixth form with two A levels, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. Had a couple of options to go into further education at university. One was at Newcastle in agricultural engineering, and one was in Portsmouth, of all places, to do with geographical engineering, which is about mapping the seabed. But again, didn't really enjoy the education side. So I decided to get into work. And my first proper role, as in probably first role where I was actually on the books, through a friend, I went to work as a labourer at a coal mine, which was on the A69, used to be called Greenhead Collieries. And I did 9 months there just as purely as a labourer, helping out in the yard, driving machines, helping sort of stores and stuff like that. And interestingly, just over 18, they give me an explosive license as well. And I was responsible for the explosives and make sure they got signed off to go down the pit. But it was interesting, loved the work. Loved the crack with the guys and stuff like that, and the money was good, but it didn't really fulfill what I wanted to do. So trying to keep this fairly short, a friend of mine through another friend worked for Mercedes-Benz commercials in the sales team, and as an organization at the time, Mercedes-Benz on the truck commercial side across Europe had a very aging sales force. I think the average age was about 55, and this was back in the late 80s, and they were looking at trying doing something different. So they were setting up a pilot scheme where they were going to set up almost like an apprentice scheme, but they called it a trainee scheme, where they would bring in a number of 18, 19 year olds and actually put them through an academy that they had down in Milton Keynes and develop them to be the future sort of the sales team. And so went for the interview, got offered the role, and there were 16 of us in the UK. And basically that became my university as such. I went on this, they called it a truck sales consultancy program, 16 of us across the UK. It was 15 guys and one lady. And every 6 weeks we'd meet up in Milton Keynes for a couple of days. And they trained us on everything from, you know, not just sales techniques, but how to handle customers, finance, you know, weight distribution, the technical side of the trucks, lots of different things. And we were actually tested during that process. And I found it fascinating. So worked for Mercedes-Benz on the truck sales side, spent 16 years with them, working my way up from trainee in the team. I eventually became a sales manager for Cumbria and Southwest Scotland. And actually, ironically, some of the team that were older than me that were there when I started actually became my staff, which was an interesting concept. Certainly, as I was only about 28, and it was the sort of first time I'd been in a management role, and it was a big eye-opener to me. But there was a lot of support in that industry and sector to sort of develop people. And yeah, it just evolved from there. I think in the 16 years I was in Mercedes, I think I had about 7 different roles, and I never applied for any. I often got asked, would you be interested in this? Have you considered this, etc. And yeah, I found it great industry. It was all business to business relationships, off-site. And whilst it was predominantly, you know, you're selling commercial assets such as trucks, a lot of the time we were sort of helping customers with sourcing finance, you know, sourcing driver training and stuff. So you got quite involved in your customers' businesses. And a lot of them services we eventually brought in-house. And then I never imagined ever actually moving. If you'd asked me back then, I never actually ever imagined leaving Mercedes-Benz because they really looked after the staff, they developed it. And then I got approached by Volvo to see if I'd be interested in going to work with them, who were the direct competitors to Mercedes, to be honest, Volvo Trucks in Sweden. Yeah. And they were going through a total restructure across Europe. As an organization, they bought a lot of the sort of dealer network, I think about 50%. And as a manufacturer, they didn't have a lot of experience on the dealer retail side. So over a period of about, 8 or 9 months, they convinced me to go and work for them. And the interesting thing, it wasn't the only reason I really moved wasn't because of the money, because it was no better, but they were willing to invest further in me. And at that point, you know, I always thought back, I'd never went to uni, I'd have missed something there. And I just said to Volvo, look, if you take me on, I'd love to do my degree and something. And to be honest, that they followed through on that. So I went to work for them in 2003, spent 12 years with Volvo Truck Corporation, went in as area manager. Within 4 years, I was working for the head office in Warwick. They put me through an MBA, which took 5.5 years for me to go through that process. And I think just I was getting close to my late 30s, I became a direct regional director for the whole of North of England and the whole of Scotland on the sales side. And then just after 2.5 years doing that, I became operations director as well and took in all the operations side. And I had seven great years as a director of Volvo, but I spent a lot of time traveling. Office was either in Warwick. And yeah, they put me through my MBA. So that, you know, I didn't really do my qualifications, I suppose, until I was sort of getting near 40, into my early 40s, yeah. And then that was my sort of career as such, yeah. And then probably one of those points in life where, you know, you're spending... I wouldn't say it's a downside of going up the ladder, but you spend more and more time traveling, or you certainly did in them days, and living in a suitcase. And I would spend a lot of time, not just in the UK, but in Europe as well, in meetings or, you know, helping training staff, etc. So I sort of made a decision that I'd love to do something myself and probably I'd explore that. And that's how I came about towards the end of... I think it was 2014 where I made a decision that I would leave and set up my own consultancy, which I've now been running for about 6.5 years.
It's really interesting, just picking up on the point that you said before you moved to Volvo, when you were at Mercedes, you sort of thought, I would never move. You will never move. You were very happy and comfortable in that company. And obviously, yeah, they'd give you the opportunity to start with and you'd worked your way up there. But actually, you'd then sort of left and the opportunity was even better at Volvo at the time, because probably because of the training and stuff that was it. So I think that's correct. That probably was a good step, because maybe if you'd never had the opportunity, you'd maybe still be working at Mercedes. Maybe you wouldn't, you know, but making that leap probably led you to be able to, again, when you come to your time, end at Volvo, make that leap again to go into setting up on your own, you know. Yeah. And I think that's probably a really good message for people, maybe particularly around Cumbria, that it's really good to be with an employer and work with them and be loyal to them. But if other opportunities come up in your way, then actually sometimes you can move and maybe not all the time, it might not work, but actually it could end up developing you even more. You say there, they actually then put you through more qualifications, your MBA and stuff. I think it's a really, really good example sort of that.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's a good point, Jason, because like I said, I never envisaged moving from Mercedes. I was comfortable in a lot of ways, you know, with my role, with my team, and we were doing really well as an organization, and I couldn't really see anything changing there. However, after I'd moved and reflected, I thought I should have actually moved earlier. Mm. You know, maybe 10, 12 years would have been the ideal time rather than 16 years. Because I wouldn't say bored, but it was, you know, I was in such a good place. There was no real challenges in the organization at the time. So stepping into something new is a big step. But I learned more about myself doing that. And obviously Volvo invested in me.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. So I think that was a really good, capture of sort of your history to this point. Well, till about 2014. So you got involved and did set up your own sort of business, and obviously did. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you sort of do now?
Yeah, and interesting thing is it's sort of changed a bit from when I first set out as well. So I was really fortunate with Volvo because I was a director. I was on like a long notice period. I think it was 9 months, but they once we agreed that I was leaving. You know, they supported me in that process. I had to find my replacement as part of the package of leaving, etc. So it allowed me time to sort of research, and I really enjoyed working with teams, developing teams, taking businesses forward on whether it's sales growth or looking at them operationally. And I just got a feeling, speaking to some of my customers at the time who were hauliers, there wasn't a lot of support for that outside of large corporates and maybe in the SME market. So, you know, I was relatively clear when I left that I just wanted to support business owners starting out, and a lot of it was going to be around about growth, et cetera. So I did that, you know, when I left end of 14 and started at the very beginning of 2015. Interestingly, the day I left Volvo, I had a client lined up for me on the Monday morning. When at my consultancy, who was one of the hauliers that I knew in a previous life. So I went straight. I didn't have a gap. And I went out there and I met a lot of people, went to a lot of events, which I still do, and just sort of got to understand the market. And it was interesting. I didn't realize, probably in naivety, I'm probably being conditioned to just being in the truck industry for 28 years of my career, the industry was so diverse outside of corporate, you know, size of business, types of operations, sectors, you know, things like that. So I did quite a bit of learning, and not necessarily everybody wanted help with growth. A lot of people had the ambition for growth, but didn't understand what the fundamental steps in getting there were. You know, they'd grown the business to a certain level, but they couldn't take it anymore. So over the first 2 or 3 years of my consultancy, whilst I was sort of offering clients growth support and strategic support, a lot of the time it was looking internally at structures, processes, how they market themselves, getting them to give me as much information as they could about their customer lists and their product and service lists. And I became a bit of an internal analyst and helping them create a roadmap path, which was a bit of an outcome of the work. And then often I got involved in helping them implement that. So it's been quite, it's been really interesting that I've been involved in lots of different things in that respect.
And supported those businesses in that sort of thing where you've said to me previously, there's some really good people who own businesses, but they because they have a business, they have an idea and they have a deliverable and that's what they do, when actually they could do that better, but they just don't have this over here to support them and give them that idea. And that's effectively what you then provide support, so then they can carry on and grow in the thing that they have obviously a passion about to set up that that business. So it's good, it's fantastic.
Yeah, and interesting, just this morning, I met one of my clients this morning who was one of my first clients when I started in the consultancy. And as a business, they're exceptional at what they do. And that's driven by him through his knowledge and his experience. But actually, he's always saying, I don't know a lot about running a business. You know, even though he's got a staff of 33 and, you know, he's they're quite successful and well-known in and around Carlisle. He comes to me about the business stuff, you know, I've got this, you know, how do I go about this, that and the other. So they tend to tap into me for my business knowledge rather than sector knowledge.
Exactly. And it's great. So moving on to a little bit about Beck BC. So you mentioned this sort of introduction. You've been a member of Beck BC for, did you say, six years?
Yeah, it's coming up. I'll be coming up to 8 years in March,
I think. So you've obviously been involved in Beck BC for a while, and then obviously as a director more recently, last 3 or so years. So why did you initially get involved in Beck BC?
Interestingly, I was when I first set up my business, I got some support through Dodd & Co's, the accountants in Carlisle, who were a member of Beck BC, and Alison Johnson at the time was a director at Beck BC. And she says, oh, you'll have to come along to one of the meetings. So very early on, after setting my business, I came along to one of the, I think it was in the February, the March, after I started in the January, came along to a Beck BC meeting. And straight away, you know, it's a couple of things. One, walking into such a large event like Savenagis, there was a lot of people there. There must have been well over 100. I think Sellafield were presenting that day. So there was a lot of interest in what they were talking about. But I just found it fascinating. Whilst I don't know much about the nuclear sector as a specialism and stuff like that, you know, having always worked in a asset sales stroke service industry and then working with teams like that, there's a lot of similarities. I just found it fascinating, and there's very few meetings I've missed, and I've even been along to quite a few of the subcluster meetings. I love to listen. I love to learn, and naturally through conversations, I've picked up some clients through that process as well. But obviously, you know, I put myself forward for being on the board as well, because I naturally want to help. You know, I want to help members and I want to help businesses achieve what they set out to. And if I can do some of that through being a director of Beck BC, great. You know, by putting the right programs on.
Exactly. And that leads me good into the next sort of question about your involvement as a director. What sort of things can members sort of get in touch with you about?
Anything at all, really. But I mean, I predominantly predominantly work with the SMEs, which probably 75% of the members. And if it's as simple as just, connecting them with somebody, another member, or if they're looking for some support, or you know whether it's finance, grants, employers and stuff, that I'm quite knowledgeable on where they could go. And then I sort of lead the business support group as well, which tends to be the services, the business services, so the financial services, project management, and the sort of support services there. So again, we work collectively and trying to put a program together where we can sort of help each other, probably engage with some of the bigger companies that are either sort of tier twos or tier threes. But the key thing is collaboration and bringing people together, connecting, and I sort of class it as a bit of almost being like an enabler, you know, so you listen to what people need or what they want support with and just connect them.
Yeah. And it links directly to our shadow board theme, business collaboration, because it's a massive part of what the cluster is about. So with all that and the collaboration and the opportunities for members, particularly to talk to each other and a lot of that, where do you see Beck BC sort of moving to in the next couple of years? So sort of people talk about like post-COVID and so, and although we're not past COVID yet, I won't phrase it sort of like that, but in the next couple of years, where do you see Beck BC, or maybe even broader, just the business landscape of West Cumbria sort of heading to?
I think, the last 18 months has been really tough for everybody in every industry. You know, it's unprecedented and it's never sort of been seen before. There was a lot of focus, whilst we couldn't meet on Zoom calls and phone calls, just checking in on each other and looking after each other and helping people get through. And businesses get through them tough times. But I think, certainly as we look forward, I believe there's some great opportunities for Beck BC. There's potential projects that will come into West Cumbria. There's quite a few things going on behind the scenes. Yes. It might be 5-10 years hence before this sort of, you see any physical changes, but there's going to be opportunities to get involved in them schemes fairly early on, whether it's consultancy, etc. But the interesting thing is that a lot of the member organisations across the county, so whether it's Cumbria Chamber of Commerce or Cumbria Tourism, they're all starting to collaborate and work together as well. So rather than it be everybody working in silos, they're actually trying to support each other. We've had, just in the last few weeks, had really strong conversations with Cumbria Let, Department of International Trade, and they're all wanting to get involved and work together for the benefit of West Cumbria and Cumbria and wider beyond. Yeah, so I think we're in a good place as an organisation, and there's some real opportunities going forward. But the only way we can really get there is work together, collaborate, and support each other. Really,
right? I completely agree. There's some really good stuff coming up, or some things that have just been recently announced, the potential coming up. Yep. And Cumbria being quite a centre point of a lot of that discussion, and Beck BC obviously contributing to a lot of that. So I think the next couple of years will be really interesting to see where Beck BC goes, but obviously as where Beck BC goes, that's where the rest of the business landscape and our members sort of go.
Yeah. And just on that point, Jason, and it's maybe one of my learnings through doing the consultancy for the last 7 years and working with some of the SMEs that I support. There's a lot of fantastic businesses in the county, but not many people know about them because they don't shout about it. And maybe that's something that's, natural for Cumbria. As a county, we maybe don't shout about what our capabilities are, what our resources, knowledge and experiences are. So collectively, if we can work together, we may be able to attract more opportunities to the county going forward. So I think there's an element where we've got to help market Cumbria and the businesses that are based here.
And if there are companies listening to this who aren't members, Beck BC is a great place for them to become a member and then to widen that thing. So at least people within the county would know what our own capability is to then go and then spread that to further afield to attract more here. So it was set up ideal for that sort of thing.
And I definitely agree on that. I think of all the, not knocking anybody else, but of all the member organisations in the county, if you're in a sort of B2B supply sector and want to know what's happening on the ground or what the opportunity is, Beck BC is a great place to start. Come along because you'll pick up a lot of information.
Yeah. Exactly. So last question before we sort of close. Obviously mentioned previously, one of the purposes of these podcasts is to reach out to younger people. So just on everything we've sort of talked about, or maybe something else, do you have any specific advice for young people, either in general or maybe for them to get involved in Beck BC?
I think, really for me, and just on my own experience as well, if you're at a point where you're thinking about starting your career or you've just started your career, find out what you like doing and what your passion is, yeah, and try and, I'm not saying, you know, walk out of university tomorrow or anything like that, but you know follow your heart type thing, yeah, and then do something you believe in. Yeah, there is a lot of opportunities out there, but often the only way you can find it out is, and I don't know if it's the right phrase, but expose yourself to them different environments, different opportunities. So you might have to try two or three different things to find where you fit and where your passion is. But yeah, don't be just doing something or work-wise just for the sake of it. You know, find something you like doing, yeah. And, you know, there is a hell of a lot of opportunities out there. Have conversations with people, people like, you know, in the mid-20s, and just learn from others, yeah.
Yeah, and I think you made a really good point, and I think it was the right way, exposing yourself to the opportunity, but also to people. So I know people, I know examples of where people are have sort of been, say, working in hospitality, say in a hotel, and they've had a regular person come in and they've been talking good rapport, and then actually that's then manifested through talking into an opportunity in a company in an area which they really wanted to. And I think a lot of people maybe do wait, sort of sit back and wait for stuff, when actually even just going volunteering or getting a large job or doing something, exposure gives the opportunity to speak to people. If you're in a small organization, remember Beck BC would even be a great place, not just for like moving companies sort of thing, but for development within your own company or your own role and things like that. So I think that's a really good point, actually, about exposing yourself, maybe is the wrong word, but giving yourself the best chance to be able to speak to multiple different people and find out about stuff that's going on.
And volunteering is a great way of achieving that, Jason. And also, if you're working for a large organization like I did, when Mercedes were global and so were Volvo, I can always remember my first boss always saying to me, you know, if somebody asks you to do something, do it as well as you can, because you don't know what it'll lead to. But the second thing he used to say is they're looking for somebody for support. So if they're putting a project team together or they want somebody to pick, just stick your hand up and do it, and you'll learn something in that process. You'll also get recognized, yeah, as a person that's willing to step out of your comfort zone. And that will then potentially lead to something further down the line. But you'll get that experience through that process.
And then you know you've done that well when you get to a point where you're being asked to do so much stuff, you think, "Bugger, I can't do all this." And that's when you probably know that actually, then you could actually refine. That's when you get to a point where you can refine what you're doing, what you spend your time on, because those opportunities then start to come. But it starts from you completely right saying, "I'll give that a go, no problem."
Yeah. Interestingly, at Volvo, we used to have a saying: "If you want to create any change, it starts with you." Yeah, as in me. So if you want to make any change, it starts with you. Yeah. And so you have to take that first step.
Well, that's sort of everything I had to go through. I really enjoyed that, Peter. That was a really good conversation. I think people listening will also find that really useful to find out about you, but also just the diverse range of experiences and stuff that we've got within the Becker BC team. So thank you very much for your time. Obviously, as to listeners, we have multiple different ones of these podcasts with other members of the board and influential figures in and around Cumbria. So make sure you go check those out. And again, thanks very much, Peter. And thanks everyone for listening.
No worries. And if anybody wants to chat through any of what I've discussed, you know, by all means, feel free to get in touch. Yeah. And like I say, sometimes it'll be, if you want signposted on, I'm more than happy to do that. Yeah. Good. So thanks, Jason. Yeah.
Yep. Thanks, Peter. Thank you.